My dearly beloved in Christ, Satan gives the demons new assignments every day. He knows our weaknesses, and they never sleep or rest. They're constantly trying to trap and seduce us into sin. And it's been a very hot summer, and it's hard enough to practice purity and chastity, but temptations to sins against purity usually increase during the summer in so many indecent fashions. And my dearly beloved Christ, we'll be conquered easily if we hardly pray or hardly receive the sacraments, or if God is really means nothing to you, and that Sunday is just another day. So many people are attacked because of the peer pressure. It affects their spiritual life very much. It's very hard because you want to fit in, you want to be popular, but a lot of times going with the crowd is in the wrong direction. And of course, many people don't even go to confession. So during the summer, we need to pray more, go to church more. Fasting and self-denial does control temptations against purity. Avoid pornography and no filthy television or filthy movies. Drugs and alcohol make people do things they later regret. Men and women, boys and girls, need to be careful what they look at. Custody or mortification of the eyes is very, very important. And of course, we need to wear decent clothing, not only at church. And at church, please don't wear tight clothing, low necklines, or other indecent fashions. And if, again, every time we're tempted, but especially against purity, it's something that Tina teaches in First Communion class, but it's something we all need to know. You pray, and then you run away. You turn away. My dearly beloved in Christ, if heaven is to be given as a reward for our service to God, then there must be in life some means by which we earn that reward. It's of the very nature of a trial that we be given a task. We cannot expect heaven without effort. The observance of God's commandments, especially the sixth and ninth commandments regarding purity, are the means by which we prove our loyalty to God, our obedience to Him, and our fitness for heaven. The reason God restricted this particular pleasure is because the indulgence of this passion outside of marriage or promiscuously after marriage causes great injury to society in general and to families and individuals in particular. St. Thomas Aquinas stated the word chastity comes from the word castigare, to chastise, because sound reason chastises the passions of the flesh like an unruly child. Therefore, in order to save ourselves, we must battle against temptation to preserve the virtue of chastity. The promiscuity in our modern society clearly shows that carnal instincts can grow to gigantic proportions and perversions when they're indulged in. On the other hand, they weaken when they are starved. It's however impossible to destroy our passions, sexual passions, or deny their existence. Therefore, God expects us to practice self-control and self-denial by sublimating our carnal instinct. A simple illustration will clarify the matter. Men and women rise early to prepare their children for school and to get to work on time. In so doing, they repress or sublimate their desire to sleep, a good thing in itself, in order to educate their children and to earn a paycheck. In like manner, when we control our carnal instinct, which is a God-given passion, we gladly subordinate it to a better thing that we want more, which is God's approval. Some people complain and say, I prayed and prayed and yet I'm still tempted. It's obvious that prayer and the frequent reception of the sacraments are essential to preserve chastity, but they alone will not suffice. The saints followed a program to fortify their souls against temptation. Devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, frequent prayer, frequent reception of the sacraments, self-denial, mental prayer and examination of conscience, spiritual reading, good thoughts, avoidance of the occasion of sin, and of course, humility. We must be humble. Since we're no match against Satan, what approach should we use to defend ourselves from his attacks? First, it's obvious that the more we one tells himself not to think about something, the more he keeps his mind on it. The more he struggles against it, the more his imagination gains excitability. If I keep repeating, I will not think of onions, I will not think of onions, my waters will soon begin to water. With God's grace, we will always successfully overcome temptation if we turn our mind away from the devil's allurement quickly and recite a few short aspirations such as the holy names of Jesus and Mary, or Jesus, Mary, Joseph. When you pray thus, you're receiving grace to divert the attention of your mind from the bad thought, and which will bring the powerful aid of our Lord and His Blessed Mother to you in your effort to fix your mind on some good thought and away from sin. My dearly beloved in Christ, because we're nearly everywhere surrounded by indecency, because it's so prevalent everywhere, we look in the media, at school, in books, the internet, magazines, music, movies, fashion, television, advertisements, entertainment, in the workplace, etc. We're in great danger of being desensitized. We may even find ourselves looking at particular fashions or other objectionable things as not really that bad. Instead of guarding the great treasure of sanctifying grace, we may give it away or compromise it. My dearly beloved in Christ, we should take note of the value that the saints placed on this virtue. The pages of church history are filled with valiant heroes and heroines who realize the true worth of chastity. Here are just a few examples. In the lives of the saints, we read that Saint Benedict was once strongly tempted to consent to an impure thought. But blushing at so evil a suggestion of the devil, he threw himself into a thorn bush which grew in the place where he was, and rolled himself a long time in them till his body was covered with blood. The wounds of his body stifled all lust. St. Francis of Assisi was also tormented with sensual images. No, not that, St. Francis revolted, not that. Away from here, Satan, he shouted. I'll drive the devil away. Taking off his habit, he began to whip his lean body with his cord. He whipped himself as if he was beating a mad wolf. His cries cut into the silence of the mountains. The pain became so intense that he put his hand to his ribs. They were wet with blood. He then rolled in the snow on one of the coldest nights of the winter. My dearly beloved in Christ, although we do not have to take such measures, we must immediately pray and run away from the temptations to lust by turning our mind away to something else. In the 4th century, 13-year-old Saint Philomena resisted the advances of the Emperor Diocletian, choosing to endure torture and death rather than lose her virginity and deny her faith. She rejected his offer to become queen of the Roman Empire because the price was too high. In the 19th century, my patron, St. Dominic Savio, remained faithful to his motto, death but not sin. And in the early 20th century, St. Maria Goretti, a young girl of 12, succumbed to being stabbed 14 times rather than commit a mortal sin. St. Aloysius, St. Agnes, St. Agatha, and countless others can also be included with this heroic group. They were able to preserve chastity through humility, prayer, penance, and self-denial. My dearly beloved in Christ, given what indecent clothing does to the pleasure center of the brain, and given it the fact that it's pretty easy for guys to see a lot of female skin these days, undoubtedly it has never been more difficult for boys and men to avoid sins against purity. Therefore, it's imperative that we guard our eyes well. Great vigilance is necessary to preserve the virtue of chastity, especially by turning our eyes away from the occasion of sin. St. Francis de Sales stated, "He who does not wish the enemy to force his way into the fortress must keep the gates locked." We're opening up portals to hell. St. Charles Borromeo said, "It's impossible for you to remain chaste unless you constantly watch over yourself. Negligence in this regard leads almost invariably to the loss of virtue." When Brother Roger, a Franciscan, who was noted for his exceptional purity, was asked why he was so guarded in his looks, especially concerning women, he replied, "If a man shuns the occasion of sin, God protects him. If he deliberately puts himself in danger, the Lord abandons him and he easily falls into grievous sin. My dearly beloved in Christ, learn to mortify your eyes so you never gaze at a source of temptation. Don't look in indecent magazines and pornographic websites. Don't watch indecent movies, television programs, and advertisements. Don't let your eyes dwell, even for an instant, on something that would endanger your immortal soul. My dearly beloved in Christ, Holy Scripture tells of many who fell from grace due to a lack of control of the eyes. A lustful stare that King David cast at Bathsheba from the roof of his palace caused him to commit the sins of adultery and murder. The mighty Samson and even the wise Solomon were both subdued and fell into sin because of lust of the eyes. At this point, some might say, look, females are a good part of God's creation. God wouldn't have made them beautiful if he didn't want us to feast on their beauty. But just because God made someone beautiful doesn't mean he wants you to lust after her. God made the fruit of the tree in the middle of the Garden of Eden very beautiful. Would you like to ask Eve if its beauty made it all right to look at and to eat? God commanded her not to eat of the fruit, and he's commanded us not to lust over females. By the sixth and ninth commandments, God requires us to practice chastity according to our state in life. In our society, a man's greatest battle is to control his eyes and thoughts and heart so that impure images are refused. And then for women, your duty is just to dress modestly, decently. Since we cannot preserve the chastity without the help of God, humility, prayer, and the frequent reception of the sacraments are absolutely necessary. Prayer and humility are more needed for this virtue than for any other, because a victory over lust cannot be won without a most special grace of God. St. John Chrysostom says, "It's a mistake to imagine that one can, in one's own strength, preserve purity. By God's grace and mercy alone can the passions of nature be controlled." So just close with a final thought. We must crown all this with devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, because she's so able and willing to help us. Signori spoke of a wild youth whom a priest in confession told him to recite 3 Hail Marys morning and evening in honor of the immaculate purity of Our Lady. After some years, the young man returned to the priest and informed him that to this practice he owed his complete conversion. My dearly beloved in Christ, countless men, women, and children have preserved their chastity because they were faithful in saying 3 Hail Marys in the morning and at night in her honor, and were prompt in turning to her when tempted against purity. We too should follow such an example so that our precious treasure, sanctifying grace, will be protected and safeguarded by the most powerful and loving of guardians. Our Lady is our heavenly mother, and she crushes the serpent's head. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.